a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to challenge everything and everyone. Our goal is to bring you interesting guests who are doing good things in the world and kind of pick at their brains and get their opinions on things, and we run them through the standard issue Dr. Kevin questions. Do remember that today is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. You can also go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and there you can see pinned to the top some information about today's guest, and that you will be able to connect up with him, go see what he's doing, and again, ask questions about him. As we always start every show, we start it with what I like to call is my hot topic. My hot topic might be something that, makes me feel warm and fuzzy in the cockles of my heart, or it might be something that gets me hot under the collar. Then my guest comes in, and then we put him through the Dr. Kevin questions. Today's guest, who I will be introducing more thoroughly in a few minutes, he is somebody that he is the last of the charismatic Three Stooges, is how I'm going to refer to him in this moment. We have heard from his partners, Johnny and Marcus, and now we have Joe. So we'll be introducing you more to Joe and what's going on with him and where he'd like to take you outside the box, where he'd like to take you behind the curtain, and what load of crap he wants to talk about. Today's hot topic, however, has to do with at what price is what I'm going to call it. A couple of days ago on my Facebook feed, I posted a question. The question had no implication. It was based on an article on PBS.org. I still find that the PBS and the NPRs and tend to do a pretty fair and balanced as things go. I don't think that they're being controlled by the right or the left, so to speak, which the majority of public media today is cashing a check from either the right or the left, and therefore do media exploitation media. Sorry, I knew the word was there somewhere. It was just getting stuck in my teeth. Exploitation media. But I think PBS and NPR try to really kind of put the facts out there. So I put this about that these young kids that were separated from their family are now being required to go into court all by themselves. I mean, no, they have a representative, somebody that they've met in the last 1 or 2 days, 2, 3, 4 year olds. Going into a courtroom, and no idea where their parents are, ripped from their home life, ripped from their family, ripped from the country of origin, completely traumatized. And many experts have said that this will be a trauma that will shape and define their lives. And I don't think that that's really a rocket science kind of prediction. To basically justify why they should be in the U.S., I put it out there and I said, how would you feel if it was your child or grandchild? I was really surprised at some of the comments that I got. Immediately, people tried to move it into a political party issue. And I can guarantee you that three-year-old is not a registered Republican or Democrat. I will bet you my bottom dollar. I'll bet you my bottom dollar that that 3-year-old also doesn't really care who is president or who's not or who's in control of the House, doesn't care why they're being used as some kind of bargaining chip, finger pointing. It's the president's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. It's this one's fault. It's that one's fault. All they care about is they're 3 years old standing in a courtroom. We're having somebody that they've barely met or known trying to cross-examine them to ask them questions that are way above their pay grade. How low will we go? And does everything have to become a political issue? Can we step aside and remember that we're humans first, that we are compassionate beings, or we'd like to say we are? And I am going to pick a bone here, because at one point there was some rumbling that came across as very lack of compassionate. And so I posted a little Bible quote. Now, for those of you who attend the Dr. Kevin Show on a regular basis, I am a self-proclaimed not Christian, was not raised Christian, am not Christian. But when I deal with Christian people who go into a very judgmental and hypercritical place of forgetting that Jesus taught compassion and this is your ideal, your role model, and your God, and then you think that we should slug it out with a 3-year-old, that 3-year-old is somehow hiding an MK-16 in his Pampers to come and wage war in neighborhoods in Idaho or Ohio, I think that you need to go back to Christian religion 101. It may not be my religion, but if it's going to be yours, at least don't be a hypocrite about it. So that's my hot topic. How low will we go? Do we have to politicize everything? And that being said, I'm going to introduce Joe. Joe, walk right into it. What do you think? Welcome, buddy.
Thank you. I believe you are correct. I don't think we need to politicize it. And, when I was informed of this story this morning, it was a bit of a shock to me. And felt lots of emotions and things about this, and that's always an interesting position for me to be in, because it usually means that there's something to learn there. So I'm fascinated by the story. I'm really curious about it, and I'm looking to know more.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, because we are in exploitation media these days, you never know really what to believe. I mean, we saw the image of the 3-year-old girl crying, and we were led to believe that that's because she was separated from her mother, and her mother was actually standing there, we find out. But she still is crying because it's kind of scary. And so, what happens is, everybody thinks they need to make it bigger than life to make their point, and then everybody loses credibility. Mm. There's no credibility on the left, the right. I don't know that there's any credibility anywhere anymore, because it seems like no one wants to just speak a plain, unvarnished truth that is in media or in politics. And I say public media when I say that.
That's interesting. So how does that mean that we get back to the truth then?
Well, and that's a good question. I mean, maybe it's one I'm going to pose to you. How do we get back to the truth? And, I think that there is an accountability, but Americans have to wake up and stop being apathetic, and they have to stop being suckers. I truly believe that we have a way too large a number of Americans that are suckers, whether they're spouting out left or right ideology, that they do it without critical thinking skills being applied, without going beyond the surface, without asking hard questions. And we've been pushed into a black and white, and nothing's really black or white, is it?
Not to me, certainly. And I think that's where, when I see things like this, I look to find out more. I look to find out what all those kinds of gray areas are. What are the other variables? What are the things that I don't know that beyond sort of just the raw emotion are available to me to learn and understand? Because I think we, you know, as human beings, it doesn't matter if we're Americans or otherwise, I think that, you know, we all have these cognitive biases, and we are, to much of an extent, controlled by them. And when we have a strong emotional response to stories like this, I think it's also our responsibility to take a moment and process that emotion. It's not that the emotion is misplaced, although in some cases it can be. It's just that if you don't have all the facts, to me, you're not playing with a full deck, and that is a scary prospect to be.
So I got a question for you. This is just your personal opinion. Do you think anybody in Washington, D.C. is playing with a full deck?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, I think, again, it's sort of a cognitive bias to say, well, you know, those guys over there, they're just dumb, or they're not thinking clearly, or whatever else. Whereas we in the same circumstance might feel differently, and we're saying we're doing the best that we can. Through my training in things like NLP, one of the sort of fundamental presuppositions, the precepts of that kind of thinking, is that everyone's doing the best that they can with the available information and knowledge that they have. And I know that, not to be naive, that everyone is going to be that way. I know there are people out there with malicious intent, but there are people out there, I think, that are genuinely trying to do good, and they're doing it in a way that given the knowledge and skills and available information they have and the wisdom they're trying to apply to any situation is going to be, you know, looked at in a way that really is you know, hard for someone who hasn't walked a mile in their shoes to understand fully. And so, you know, I have no idea about Washington. It's not a you know, conversation I have too often with people. I tend to stay out of politics for that reason, because it becomes a hot button issue for people, and it's just not a place that I tend to go, because I don't have any real expertise in it.
Well, you have at least the expertise of these other people who are representing you as an American and as a voter, and what they decide to do affects many areas of the life that you walk in. Mm. If suddenly they said, oh, well, we're gonna pass a law that says if you're a second or third generation immigrant, well, you got to go back, because we've decided we should have drawn the line in 1950 or 1970. Mm. You can't tell, because none of us go out of this unscathed. How we choose to deal with it is a different story.
Right.
There's a very interesting quote by Voltaire, and it says, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. What do you think of that quote?
That is a good quote. And I think, again, the antidote to that absurdity and eventual, you know, corruption of the soul is curiosity and finding out in, you know, an adult and reasoned way what is really going on. I remember, I can't remember the name of sort of the effect of this right now, but, you know, fake news sort of has been around for a very long time. I remember when I was younger, I had a newspaper article written about me and was shocked at what the reporter got out of our interview. But I was like, really? I am that? Like, they see me that way? Did I say those things? I'm not sure. Where this kind of effect of, if you know the news story, if you're in the thing and it's being reported about you, you're like, that's completely inaccurate. Whereas we have this belief that when something's being reported, it's the objective truth. And it's like, whoa, it's a really kind of surreal thing when it happens to you, because you're like, whoa, that's an interesting interpretation of what I just said, or of this, you know, facial expression I may have made, or whatever else. So, you know, with people that can do those kinds of things, that can make you believe those absurdities, I would say guard your own mind. Make it so that you are, like the premise of this show, challenging everything and continually respecting other people's differences, but also, you know, finding out for yourself the sort of idea of trust but verify.
So I'm gonna actually answer the question that I asked you about Washington. Is anybody in Washington playing with a full deck? And this is, I think, going to lead into some areas that you've studied. Okay. So what we know is there are, you know, there is, we're going to say, 30% of Washington that's playing with a full deck and is doing it with a lot of self-interest and very manipulatively. A third of Washington is not playing with a full deck but doesn't know the difference. And then there's a third of Washington that doesn't know what the deck is. The question is to find the difference between the intentional and the ignorant.
So how would you know, and how would they know?
Well, I think that it comes in you have to do, how do you know? Well, I think it kind of depends. You're somebody who studied stuff, and one of my questions for you, and I'm way off track how I usually run this show, but you've been warned, I think that the question is, you know, how do you know? Well, I think you know if you have surrounded yourself with a variety of people that you truly trust that are willing to tell you you're full of shit. And on the times that they do, that you actually have to listen and then assess and really think and be willing to be introspective. I think that there are some people that only surround themselves with people that are going to always tell them that they're right, because they're either completely mesmerized or they're completely manipulating the person. But, you know, if somebody is truly a clinical, quote-unquote, clinical narcissist, they don't know the difference. But it's our job as the American public to take responsibility for our country and to observe, because to the observer, a pattern will come out.
I can see that. You reminded me of, I don't know how long this was ago, but sort of the Caesars of old would have, you know, these battles that they would come back from, and they were, you know, hot off their victories, and would always have, from what I've read, like a servant boy that, you know, while the whole crowd was cheering, you're the best, you know, you won the war, whatever it kind of was, he would whisper in their ear, you know, you're only human, you're fallible, you're, you know, prone to mistakes. And it was something that allowed a bit of humility and a reminder that we as people all have times and places in our life where we go a little bit kind of counter to reality, and there are other people that can see those patterns outside of us. And I think if we're mature enough and responsible enough, that if we are able to listen, then we all can grow together.
And I agree. I think we can all grow together if we listen hard enough and we are willing enough to look in the mirror. And, you know, I have often said on the show, which is those who deny their shadow side will get eaten by it sooner or later.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all have one. But right now what we're seeing is we're seeing the shadow side of America, who has engaged in horrific crimes against humanity, starting with the Native Americans and moving through slavery, all the way through the LGBTQT community, women, and immigrants have always been harassed and treated poorly when they were the first ones to come. After a certain point in our early history, because the people that were there, they were Americans, and American, being an American was a very thin veneer, and the immigrant flashed back to them that they were only one generation or two generations from the old country. They had parents or grandparents that still didn't speak really good English, or who they found embarrassing.
Right.
And tried to listen to the music that's coming on, which means we're having our first break. I'm here with your charisma coach, Joe Holmes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Home Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times. Today's guest, Joe Holmes, is the third of the three charisma coaches that we have been, over the last 3 months, had on the show to talk about a number of different anything that just crosses my fancy. How do you like that, Joe?
I love talking about your fancy.
You can find out more about Joe if you come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and there is a click link there where you can go. You can like your charisma coach. You can read more about it. Joe, do you have another website? I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry that you'd like me to also put underneath that, or just you want to send them to your charisma coach?
Well, of course, go to your charisma coach. That's something that my partners and I would love for you to see. If you want to talk to me a little bit more personally, I run a hypnosis practice. You can go to ochypno.com. It's Orange County Hypnosis is my practice, and that's ochypno.com. I'd be happy to chat with anybody, give them some help if they need it.
So, I'm going to say, so, www.ochypno. Yep. And there we go. And we now have you also on the line, so they can find you there as well as on your Charisma Coach. So we were talking about how do you know, or how do they know who's got a clue and who's clueless? Where do you think that the current condition of this country is? And, you know, and there is no 100%. That's why you may have thought when I said I'm going to answer my question about Washington, I was going to say they were all playing with nobody was playing with a full deck. But that's never
yeah.
true. I'm not going to do all and nevers and all of them sure. like this.
I'm not sure if I'm playing with a full deck either. So, you know.
Well, I think that my deck has, I think my deck is a tarot deck, and I think it's got a lot more major arcana than minor arcana. But, you know, that could just be my self-delusional fantasies. But if somebody wants to play with my tarot deck, then that's because they like my fantasies. So, hey, what the hell?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. One of the things that we were talking about was, it was a side reference, but the role that critical thinking plays, because there's this challenge that we need critical thinking skills. You work with a lot of people. You have people that come to you for hypnosis. You have people that come to you for to become more charismatic. And do to develop high impact and communication skills, double your charisma. Unfortunately, if you're like me and your charisma is at zero, 2 times 0 is 0, so I'm out of luck, but that's beside the point.
Sorry, my friend.
What do you find? Do you think that people are lacking in the training or the education or the understanding of critical thinking skills these days? Has that been your experience?
I think that they are. And I think it has nothing to do with most people. I think it's the way that they've been educated or the lack of education that they've gotten. Because emotional intelligence is something that, you know, we teach and I've been working with for a very long time. And, you know, it has those two components, right? It's emotional and it's intelligence, and the two temper the other. Each one tempers the other, and I think people used to go to a liberal arts education, for instance, and the college education liberal arts kind of classic curriculum was to teach you how to think critically. I don't know of any, and I'm willing to be informed about this. I don't know of any good places other than I just recently came across this college called St. John's College, which has a very interesting looking curriculum. If I ever get the time and cash to go there, I probably will because it looks so interesting. They take you through different kinds of thought and how thought and philosophy and critical thinking have evolved over thousands of years of human civilization. And, you know, when I think if we let, this is where like in the comment section for kind of today's hot topic, we saw people kind of go to extremes where there were people who were very much on sort of the emotion side and there were people who were very much on the kind of intellect side. And, I think any extreme is gonna have some problems there. So, you know, when you allow yourself to think critically, to question things in a not an adversarial way, but like really with a curiosity, you gain the ability to sort of transform yourself and transform the world. Because if you're stuck in an emotional state, for instance, it's very hard to think clearly. If you're also stuck in a particular position, then it's hard to feel anything when that sort of position is challenged. So if you apply both the strength of one to the other, then you get a system of critical thinking that will allow you to gently question if, you know, your own reality, but also to challenge the world and say, like, is this something that I accept? Is this something that's right? Is this something that, you know, if I'm being represented by someone in Washington, that I want, you know, my representative to be saying, doing, making laws about? So critical thinking, I think, is one of the more undervalued kinds of skills, and I really do believe it's a skill that we all can learn in our society today.
I absolutely agree that it's a skill that we can learn. I look at it not as a duality, but a triad that I draw from, which is intellect, intuitive, and heart or emotion. You know, we have documented for hundreds, thousands of years that inventors, scientists, in all fields, in all areas, over and over and over and over again, we hear they suddenly had an intuitive leap. They suddenly got it. Suddenly there was some magic insight. And of course, you know, I've been doing professional psychic work since the late 70s.
I'm curious how you define intuition, because I'm looking to add to my model of if I have intellect and emotion and I want to add intuition in my life, how would I do that?
Let me see. It could easily start with attending my psychic development class that I've been teaching 25 years all over the world, but probably that's not going
to
happen.
I'm happy to come. I'm happy to come.
You know, first of all, it is understanding what is the block to the fact that children show into intuitive insights and speak about things that they know not of intellectually or as far beyond them, and we breed it out of them by our obsession with the intellect.
Yeah. You know, there's a heavy emphasis on sort of the logos idea, and we've lost a lot of that mythos as well. But yeah, I understand what you mean, I think.
The little kid that said, you know, that suddenly is jumping around and going, you know, of course, back in my day, the phone was on the wall. I'd be like, oh, I want to talk to Grammy. I want to talk to Grammy, because the phone's ringing and you pick it up and it's Grammy. But, like,
right,
they do it all the time. Like,
yeah,
people that they're connected with, they know when they're calling. And this is before you can see this. I mean, that's not my personal psychic story. I mean, my personal psychic story was my grandmother told me I was psychic when I was 4. Because I told her what she looked like when she was my age and what the name of her best friend was. And how she wore her hair, and then I sang her the song they used to sing when they played together, and all of it was spot on.
So that's really interesting, because you're saying, you said before that this essentially gets trained out of us. Is what you're saying that everyone has this ability?
Oh yeah.
Intuitive.
Awesome. Yeah, intuitive is just like the human version of instinct. I mean, we've got we've got the crappiest instincts on the planet of all the other animals. If there's a if there's a fire, we run into it, we don't run away from it. If there's a storm and a hurricane, we get a surfboard and then wonder why we drown. I mean, but the higher vibration, so to speak, and I say that gingerly, but you know, the human version of instinct is intuitive. It starts with that mother's gut feeling. I just knew something was wrong. I can't tell you what it was, but if it's more developed, it's like anything else. Psychic's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. So if you allow your intuitive to ask questions that your intellect never would have thought of, or go places that your emotions might never have allowed you to go, you then add depth to your critical thinking skills.
Yeah. One of the ways we kind of do that, a little bit of that, to us it's kind of a bit of a more advanced technique, but we'll have two people stand in front of each other and just look at each other and start saying, you know, statements about the other person. And at first it's like, you have brown hair. Okay. And then the other person is to say, thank you. Then the other person goes, they say, oh, you look like you're about 5'8". They go, thank you. Eventually, though, it starts to get into this very interesting territory where people will say stuff about the other person that you're like, how would you have possibly known that? And it becomes this really intuitive thing that I don't know exactly how it works, but it does produce some very interesting results.
Well, you know, if you and Larry and Curly, ever want to do something on the East Coast and you want to throw in a psychic wild card, just let me know.
I do.
I think you guys would be fun to play with.
I think a wild card would be warranted.
So, you know,
the
problem
in this relationship then.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I'm the Mo in the three of them.
Oh, you're the Mo.
Okay. Well, you know, the interesting...
Am I? Because you said Larry and Curly, so...
Yeah. Well, the first time I called you Shemp, but the same thing. There was Shemp and then there was Mo. So one of the things here is that all of it, what your heart tells you, what your head tells you, what your psychic tells you, and you can even throw in both unconscious and subconscious, because we all know more than we know we know until we think about it. But, you know, they're all just more information with which to make better decisions. And our job is to take all the information in and then correlate it to make the best decision in the moment based on our intention and our motivation of why we're trying to make a decision at all. But if you don't know that, oftentimes, as you said before, in our first segment, we just give our way to our, I'm going to call them cognitive liabilities.
They can be liabilities, but they're also, you know, they're useful heuristics for thinking. So it's, you know, when I've trained this kind of thing for a long time. So when I see it happening to me, I've gone like, ooh, okay, that's an interesting thing to pay attention to. For many things in our lives, though, we just don't have to think about it. It's useful shortcuts, and for the most part, you know, our brains get it right, and we don't have to think about these kinds of shortcuts. But they can be, like you said, liabilities in certain circumstances.
Well, and I think that the liability is when we're lazy. I mean, one of the things mm-hmm. that I teach my clients, my students, is the brain never has to get old. The brain gets old because of repetitive behaviors where it starts to atrophy because we're not using it.
Right.
Same habits, same patterns, same stuff. We can keep our brain young. We're going to set aside mm-hmm. illness from that statement, or disease. But we can keep our brain young if we choose it. But the way you keep your brain young is curiosity, questioning, accepting nothing at face value all the time. Mm-hmm. So I know that at any minute now we're going to start hearing the music. But I would like you to and we have about 30 seconds and then they can't hear us. And here comes the music. We'll be right back with Joe Holmes. I must be psychic.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. We've taken everything off script tonight. It started because I had invited a very vocal, when they could hide behind their typewriter and say less than pleasant things at times, people to call in on a live show and continue the debate on a Facebook post I had. And no one has called in. Imagine that. Yeah, that happens.
Imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. People like the somewhat of the, I'm going to call it the anonymity, I guess, to a certain point of Facebook, because there are things they say on there that they would never actually say if they were looking you in the eye. But that being said, it's turned into a very interesting and different show, and I'm always all about new, interesting, and different. So,
well, keeps your brain, I've got brain young, right?
Keeps my brain young. So anyways, I am talking to Joe Holmes. Joe is your charisma coach. He is part of the triad that we've been talking to, of Johnny Dupree and Marcus Oakley. And we talked a lot about charisma with them. And I said I wanted to have some different conversations with you because people can go back on Om Time and they can get all of those shows and they can hear them and they can listen to them. Yeah, they were great shows. Johnny and I had a great time. Yeah. We got off. Yeah, well, you know, I did Marcus first. So doing Marcus first, we stayed a lot on script, so to speak, simply because It was all new information. So you won the lucky straw of being the one that I'm giving the least amount of time to talk about your charisma coach about, because we've heard it.
Well, that's okay. I've been having a good time today.
So, talk to me about Chasing Limitless.
Chasing Limitless is an old brand that I'm not a part of.
Because it's still on your website. That's why I mean, it's still on your Facebook page.
Oh, well, I don't go on Facebook very often, so I'll have to update that. But let me say what Chasing Limitless used to be is something that you're familiar with. Was a project I did a while ago that the original name was the Superhuman Project.
Yeah.
And you're more familiar with that kind of name for it. Some friends and I came up with the idea that, you know, people really wanted to be sort of more superhuman in their lives. And the Chasing Limitless kind of name evolved out of that when some other friends of mine took the idea and ran with it in their own direction. Wonderful people, and I wish them the best. But I'm not involved with it. But essentially the premise is that, you know, we all have these kinds of abilities. You know, I know nothing, say, about, like, intuition, psychic, that kind of stuff, whereas you've been doing it for 25 years. Had I still been doing that, I would have added your kinds of things to that group of amazing people. And we developed a bunch of different kinds of programs, from sort of memory enhancement to, you know, charisma being another one of them, kind of personal magnetism and all kinds of stuff. So that's a you know, idea that I've had for a long time, and it'll probably come back in some other form. But for now, you know, I'm on a mission to sort of connect the world, connect everybody to their own personal, you know, gifts and power, as well as connect each other. We all have something to offer each other, I think. And your Charisma Coach is the way that I'm kind of focusing my efforts on right now.
Yeah, I, you know, because that's how I originally met you.
That's
I don't
right.
know if you, yeah, I don't know if you remember actually that we actually met or not. I'd never assume that I'm that memorable. But we met.
At a conference called CEO Space.
Yep, that's where we met. Mm-hmm. Yep. Kind of stayed on the periphery of each other because there was some conversation about kind of sort of getting me involved, but I had too many things on my plate way back when. So when this mm-hmm. kind of, when you kind of came back up on the screen, I had nothing but fond memories of you. So I was like, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. Same here. So, I remember meeting you and finding you to be one of the most engaging people I had ever met, and went, I need to keep this guy in my life. Whether or not, you know, in a professional capacity, given that that's what that sort of conference is for, but just as a friend. And, you know, I'm happy to be reconnected with you again.
Well, then we'll have to work on the friend side of it a little bit more, because that's still kind of hanging out there. But I'm happy to do that, because, again, I remember you fondly as well. Interesting and a bit dry in your humor.
That's me, and that's something that I have to say about sort of, if you listen to the other episodes with like Marcus and Johnny, you'll notice that they're very different than me. And I want to make it clear to everyone listening that charisma is something that is individual. It's something where it is not a formula that we teach. It's not you have to say this thing and that thing and be this kind of way. There are tons of charismatic people in the world, but they express it in their own way. So I prefer sort of, like I will totally admit I'm heavy sort of on the intellect, the dry humor, the kind of, I'm a bit more sort of the serious person of the three of us. But they, you know, like Johnny is the more sort of intense and extroverted, and I'm like way more introverted than Johnny for sure in comparison. But I think Johnny's like 17 notches above the rest of most of humanity on that scale. And Marcus is the one that's kind of like the funny guy. And
I was going to say, Marcus is the class clown.
You know, yeah, right? And so it works for everyone. And our mix works for us, of course, as partners. But it also is something where, you know, we tell people, like, you don't have to be one way or the other. You get to – you'll learn some skills. You'll learn some things to do. But you get to express it in your own preferred way. And that, to me, is – it's like – part of charisma is being really authentic with yourself, and that other people find that obviously very engaging. And so we tell people, you know, you don't have to look a certain way, you don't have to be a certain way, be you.
Well, and you took the words right out of my mouth, because I think that which is most attractive and can be most charismatic is authenticity and a sense of self-comfortableness. When you are comfortable, like we said before when I talked about the shadow side, when you're comfortable with, yeah, I got a shadow side. Yeah,
yep.
I mean, just before we, just before the radio, this radio show started, I'm closing on a house tomorrow. And I have spent all afternoon putting out fires from incompetent people.
Hopefully not real.
To make sure it happened. No, but just fires from people that just didn't do their job or now are asking for things they should have asked for weeks ago and expect that my life is going to drop everything and do that. And they'd already postponed it a couple of times. And I'm like, yeah, this is not happening. But, you know, being comfortable that force of nature that Johnny and I share in personality traits, because I'm more like Johnny than Marcus or you.
Absolutely. You guys are both a force of nature. But you each have your own kind of different force that you apply in the world.
Yeah, we're different kinds of weather storms.
Right.
But
the storm is coming no matter what. So
yep.
It's always interesting to watch people like that. You guys are really great examples of like just unstoppable. And it's always interesting to observe that kind of thing.
Just before I went on air, I texted a friend of mine and I said, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall not fear because I'm the meanest son of a bitch in the valley. I said, yeah. I just read roughshod over a whole bunch of people that weren't getting their job done in time. And that closing is now happening.
Very good. Yeah.
But ownership is so important. You with your dry sense of humor, with your insightfulness, you're a very insightful person, Joe.
Thank you.
And you see and you cogitate and you weigh and then you present things in ways that don't make people feel necessarily like they're being attacked or criticized, but more like they're being supported.
That's a fantastic summary of kind of the way that I try to live my life.
Well, I would say that
you're certainly not perfect at it, but I do what I can.
Yeah. So charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Charisma is neither positive nor negative. It is energy which one wields in the universe, either well or poorly, yep. But wields.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you run across somebody who is wielding charisma in a negative way? For power over, or to manipulate, or to control, or to benefit off the almost hypnotic qualities that charisma can have?
Yes. That is a fantastic question. So years ago, I learned about hypnosis in particular, and my teacher, a guy named Igor, told us that hypnosis in particular is like a magnifier of your personality, of the kind of interactions that you have with people. We've all had that kind of interaction where if someone is kind of creepy or weird or whatever, you get kind of like a bad vibe from them. You're like, I don't know what it is. Again, kind of that intuition where you're like, I don't know what it is. It's just sort of weird. Or we've had that on the opposite end, that person that like you meet them and you're like, this is now my new best friend for life. Hypnosis, charisma, especially when you start to get these kinds of skills down to sort of a mastery level, you amplify and magnify your own core personality. And when I see people who are charismatic in their own way, utilizing it with the intention that seems a bit negative is, number one, I get really curious. Like, I try to make sure that I haven't made some mistake. I haven't figured them wrong. And so I try to engage with that person. But I also then realize that usually that kind of person, because their charisma, their kind of hypnotic personality is so kind of outsized versus sort of the average kind of person, they tend to have such a negative response from the world that in many cases, not all of course, but in many, the world sort of takes care of those people. Does that make sense? Like, where people have such a negative response to them that tends to take care of itself, sort of like in physics, how, every reaction has an equal and opposite reaction. I let that be sort of the first level. And then if that's not, kind of happening in the world, then I look to response and look to find out what that person's real intention is, because I've never found a person whose intention was negative. I will find that people's behavior is negative, but their intention, if you separate it out, it's, the guy who seems to be like a a serial, you know, dater that will drop a woman at the drop of a hat, for instance. If you look at his real intention, and again, this isn't everybody or whatever, but I had a client like this recently. He would break up with women who were wonderful women to him. There was really nothing wrong with them. And he kind of knew this intellectually, but he's like, I can't keep them around. I don't know. I sabotaged the relationship. Figuring out what was going on was that he's like, the behavior is not something I want to engage in. Figuring out what was going on, though, his intention was not to get hurt. And so what he was doing was preemptively pushing them away so he wouldn't get hurt by them later. And the intention is good, to stay safe, not to be hurt. And so once we got down to that intention, once we realized that's what it was, he was able to then use his intellect, his intuition, his emotion, to start to change that behavior in a more positive direction. So when I see, again, those people who are kind of using charisma, that tool, like anything, you can either let the world take care of it or help them to discover what behavior would make their true intention manifest in the world in a positive way.
And Joe, thank you so much for coming. You'll have to come back at some point. I've had a blast. Maybe I'll get all three of you on at the same time. Now, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. Joe Holmes, your charisma coach. Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.